KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky, and at 69 degrees, we look forward to be partly sunny, hot, and breezy today. A high of 92. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by your independent insurance agents. In Greenfield, see Marsha, Joni, Lori, or Susan at the Adair County Insurance Agency on the square in Greenfield. In Southwest Iowa news, police in Red Oak were dispatched at around 5:33 p.m. Monday to the area of 8th and Joy Streets for a reported fight in progress. Upon investigation, officers cited two juveniles into juvenile court on charges of disorderly conduct. Montgomery County Sheriff's deputies assisted Red Oak police in handling the incident. The Atlantic Police Department issued a statement Monday evening with regard to a threat Atlantic Walmart officials said they had received. The store closed early at 5 p.m. Monday as a precaution in response to the threat. The Atlantic Police Department and Cass County Sheriff's Office followed up on the information that was given to authorities and found no direct threat was made to the local store. Police Chief Dave Erickson said information had been shared on a social media platform, warning Atlantic residents to be wary of the possibility of an incident occurring. That information, he says, was taken from a generalized post that has been circulating around social media outlets about protests and riots moving from the cities into the suburbs. Well, the majority of votes for today's primary election have already been cast by absentee ballot, and there has been a huge shift in party affiliation. For the first time in years, dependent or no party voters are no longer the largest voting bloc in a state. Independents have dropped a third behind Democrats and Republicans. Secretary of State Paul Pate is the state's commissioner of elections.
Sure, a lot of people will be analyzing this one to figure it all out, but it was pretty even. Republicans increased by about 36,000, and the Democrats increased by about 31,000 of new registered voters.
In the 4th Congressional District, where Congressman Steve King faces the primary challenge, more than 12,000 residents joined the ranks of Republicans in order to vote in the primary. In the 3rd Congressional District, Democrats gained 9,000 and Republicans 8,500. Pate mailed an absentee ballot request form to every registered voter in the state to reduce the risk of spreading COVID-19 at primary day polling places. Pate advises voters to check with their county auditor or go online to voterready.iowa.gov to confirm their polling place, as many counties have consolidated their sites. Pate says many auditors were able to put polling sites in schools.
Partly because they're closed, you know, there's no classes and they were accessible. They have more options and flexibility for social distancing. Also, parking is available and it's handicap accessible. Except it's kind of the gold standard. It's got everything you would want in a perfect polling location.
The polls are currently open until 9 o'clock tonight, and that's curfew time in Polk County, Scott County, and Council Bluffs. Pate's office has advised county officials that traveling home after voting is not a violation of curfews. By Monday morning, 77% of the absentee ballots requested had been received by county auditors. That's nearly 376,000 ballots, and more are expected to be delivered today, as some voters waited until Monday to mail their ballot in.
Definitely a record breaker.
And Iowans who got an absentee ballot but failed to fill it out and mail it on time have two options. Now, you can either fill it out and drop it off at your county auditor's office before 9 o'clock tonight, or you can take the unused ballot to their voting precinct, hand it over to a poll worker, and get a new ballot to vote at the precinct. Voters in Pottawatomie County will play a role in determining who becomes the next sheriff. Three Republicans are running to succeed Jeff Danker, who has decided not to seek an eighth term in office as sheriff. The candidates include Chief Deputy Sheriff Rob Ambrose, Danielle Bensinger, and Andy Brown. Ambrose, who lives in Underwood, has 21 years of experience in law enforcement, including a stint working as deputy for the Shelby County Sheriff's Office. While working for the Pott County Sheriff's Office as a deputy, Ambrose was promoted to chief deputy in 2018. He says his focus during the campaign is on the need for SROs, or school resource officers, in Pottawatomie County school districts. A Council Bluff stated Danielle Bensinger is a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps. She was first hired to work for the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office in 1998. She and her family currently live in Crescent, and she says if she's elected, one of her top priorities will be to focus on community relations. And Andy Brown, a native of Harlan, began working in the Pott County Jail in 1999 before becoming a certified deputy in 2003. He was promoted to sergeant in 2011 and is currently the Pott County Sheriff's Office lieutenant, overseeing employees at the courthouse campus. Brown says his passion for law enforcement came at a young age. He wants to focus on community outreach, specifically within the county's rural areas. Governor Kim Reynolds and the Iowa Department of Education on Monday announced the state has received $26.2 million in federal relief to ensure education continues for students of all ages impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Iowa's grant is part of the nearly $3 billion Governor's Emergency Education Relief, or GEAR, Fund, which allows governors to determine how to best meet the needs of students in public and non-public schools, post-secondary institutions, and other education-related organizations. The Iowa Department of Education, in collaboration with the State Office of the Chief Information Officer, is conducting a statewide survey regarding barriers Iowans face to remote learning, including broadband access. The household survey targets families with K through 12 students, but also asks about college students. The intent is to prioritize areas of the state with the greatest need based on those survey results. In our funeral announcements, Hugh Newton, age 90, of Lewis, died Friday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Graveside services for Hugh Newton will be today at 1 o'clock in the Oakwood Cemetery at Lewis. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Benjamin Jessen, age 30, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Cass County Hospital. A memorial service for Benjamin Jessen will be held Wednesday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Dewey Hess, age 81, of Harlan, died Friday. Funeral services for Dewey Hess will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home of Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Stephen Michael Nopoulos, age 75, of Lakeland, Florida, and formerly of Norfolk, Virginia, and Stuart, Iowa, died Saturday. A military graveside service for Stephen Nopoulos will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the South Oak Grove Cemetery in Stuart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stuart has the arrangements. James Langston, age 73, of Stuart, died Wednesday at Mercy West Lakes in West Des Moines. Memorial services for James Langston will be held on Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stuart. Gene Hackwell, age 80, of Anita, died Saturday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. A memorial service for Gene Hackwell will be Friday at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Anita. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Anita has the arrangements. Eugene Jensen, age 89, of Creston and formerly of Fontenelle, died Monday at his home. Funeral services for Eugene Jensen are pending with the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. The news was brought to you by your independent insurance agents. In Oakland, your independent insurance agents are Craig, Marsha, and Mary at the Hummel Agency. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.